This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
John chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 35, says this, again the next day, John stood with the two of his disciples. So John's standing there with two of his own disciples, and he looked at Jesus. This had to be an unbelievable moment. He looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples that were with John heard him say that, and they dropped him like a ton of bricks, and they followed Jesus. That had to hurt him a little bit, you think? Probably. Like, hey, where y'all going? You know, but he understood. Then Jesus turned and seeing them, following him and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And Jesus said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Verse 40, and one of the two who heard John speak and followed him, one of the two of those was named Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother. The first thing that he did was he found his brother and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. "We found the Christ." And in verse 42, and he, being Andrew, brought him, being Peter, and Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power and your anointing. God, silence my words, and Lord, you speak. God, thank you for what you're going to do today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about Andrew. Overshadowed, but still important. Andrew, who was overshadowed, but still important. See, we don't read a lot about Andrew. When we look into God's word, we really don't see a whole lot about Andrew. There are stories, obviously, about Andrew where we draw from today, but there's not a lot of them. Because you see, Andrew didn't write a book like John wrote. He didn't write a book like James wrote. He didn't write a book like Matthew wrote. He wasn't like one of those guys. I don't know if the guy couldn't write or what. Like he just didn't write the books. But Andrew was there in the midst of all of it. He didn't get the heavenly vision like Paul got. I mean, Paul had that, he was a Christian killer, and then he had the Damascus Road experience, and then he experienced that the vision. I mean, it's just like Paul had the thing. And then Paul was planting churches and writing letters and building the church, and it's like, he wasn't that guy. He wasn't even Peter, his brother, who stepped forward on Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 people gave their heart to the Lord. 3,000. I mean, he didn't have a microphone. It wasn't like he was streaming the service worldwide. Like, it was just right there, right where they were. 3,000 people gave their heart and life to the Lord. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But see, he was often overshadowed. He was often overshadowed, but I know from God's word that Andrew was still very important. You say, why is it? Why is it that Andrew's important? Because Andrew, wherever we find him in God's word, he was always bringing people to Jesus. Everywhere he appears, he was bringing people to Jesus. He was taking them and saying, hey, I know this man who can do what you need. Hey, you need hope. Hey, you need healing. I can take you to a man. I know a man who can. I can take you to him. And he was just bringing people to Jesus. He brought the sick people to Jesus. He brought children to Jesus. He brought the dirty Gentiles to Jesus. I mean, nobody liked them. The Jews were like, there's something wrong with them. I mean, they're not circumcised, which is weird all by itself. And then they don't have the law, and they're just odd people. Like, they're just nasty. But Peter just said, hey, I'm just taking him to Jesus. Like, I don't know if I can fix him, but I know a man who can. I'm just going to take them to Jesus. Andrew was overshadowed, but he was still important. Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. See, when we look at the life of Andrew, there's so many important things that we can see in his life that apply to our lives today. And so while we're looking at the chosen, let's don't overlook Andrew again. And see, I see the very first thing that we can learn by looking at the life of Andrew is the value of individual people. The value of individual people. In verse 40, we find out that Andrew was the first named disciple. That said there were two that left John and came, but we don't know who the other guy was. So Andrew was the first named disciple. Andrew was the first disciple that called Jesus the Messiah, who announced that he was the Messiah. He was the first one. So by all accounts and all the theologians, they give the credit to Andrew being the first called, the first who was chosen. And what does he do? The first thing he does as a disciple, now, and like I would want to be like, all right, let's go ahead, Jesus, before we start going global with this thing, like let's, you know, so I'm like VP, right? So like, we're going to work this out. Everybody will work for us, and I'll take care of everything you need me to do through these other, you know, guys. There'll be 10 other guys, 11 other guys, and I'll take care of them. I'll be your guy. Like, you know, he didn't think about that. The first thing he did, he went running home to tell his brother, hey, Peter, you're a mess. But guess what? I found a guy that can fix you. Hey, we've been looking for this Messiah for a long time. Our people have been praying and seeking and crying out and begging for God to send us the Messiah. And guess what? I found him. Come and see. Come and see him. And Peter came. And then it was Peter that stepped forward and thousands gave their heart and life to the Lord. It was Peter. I wonder, had it not been for Andrew, would there be a Peter? I wonder, had there not been an Andrew that valued individual people, that said, hey, I don't know what I can do, but I know I can bring people to Jesus. I know I can bring my family and my friends. I know I can tell people about Jesus. I know I can just talk them to death and just tell them about how Jesus can help them and he can change their life and he can do wonders for them and I can just keep bringing people to Jesus. I wonder, had there not been an Andrew, would there be a Peter? I think about John chapter 12, where Andrew is recorded and he's bringing those Greeks, those Gentiles, those smelly people. He's bringing them to Jesus. And you know there was Jews, self-righteous Jews all over the place going like, you know, like some church people get, like if the wrong person walks through the door, like, like the church is not supposed to be a hospital for the hurting. Like for some reason we get here and we're like, I got it going on. Like, but he, in John chapter 12, he was bringing all these wretched people, all these Gentile people. And they believed that in that bunch of all these Gentiles that he was bringing to Jesus was a guy named Luke. As in Matthew, Mark, Luke. That one. He was the only Gentile writer in the Bible. Everybody else was a Jew. He was the only one, Luke. And he didn't write one book. He wrote the next one too. He wrote Acts. I wonder what would have happened had it not been for a guy named Andrew, who was valuing individual people, realizing that one life actually can make a difference. You see, one song can spark a moment. One flower can wake a dream. One tree can start a forest. One bird can herald spring. One smile begins a friendship. One hand clasp lifts a soul. One star can guide a ship at sea. One word can frame the goal. One vote can change a nation. One sunbeam lights a room. One candle wipes out the darkness. One laugh will conquer gloom. One step must start each journey. One word must start each prayer. One hope will raise our spirits, and one touch can show you care. One voice can speak with wisdom. One heart can know what's true. One life can make a difference, and you see, it's up to you. God values, individual people, and you matter to God. But you may be sitting here, you may be saying, no, not me. My one life couldn't matter. I'm not important to God. You don't know what all I've done. You don't know who I've been. You don't know who I am right now. There's no way that God wants me. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, he takes things that are broken all the time. He takes broken lives and broken people that are all mixed up, don't know which way to turn, and he just starts bringing it together and making everything new. He starts renewing their minds. He starts changing their hearts, and he takes something that was ugly and he makes it beautiful. He takes it and he turns it into something wonderful because God values individual people just like you and just like me, just like us. You see, we learn the value of individual people, but also we learn the value of invisible service. Invisible service. See, Andrew, now let's give him some props. I mean, he was a part of the 12. I mean, he was in the chosen. Like, I mean, that was a pretty good group to be a part of. You know, I watched that series. I think about these guys just getting to spend time with Jesus. Like, I mean, they, you know, there's so much more. The Bible says if everything Jesus did was recorded, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. Like, can you imagine all that wasn't written down? Like, they run out of ink. Like, come on, guys, we need this stuff. Like, it would probably be helpful. Like, write something down. You know? But I wonder about all the times they were just talking to him. You know, just sitting around the campfire. I mean, just chewing the fat. You know? Swapping stories. What about you, Jesus? He's like, yeah, one time I made everything. Like, oh. God always got to one-up us, man. Like, God, your stories are a lot cooler than ours. It's like, I mean, what would he say? Like, what was that like? Like, made everything, cool. Like, that's cool. Well, what happened before you did that? Like what was all that about? Like, I mean, you know, it would have been awesome. Andrew was a part of the chosen, but he wasn't a part of the inner circle. You know, when Jesus got up and he started walking off and doing cool things that nobody else knew about, he tapped three guys on the shoulder and took them with him. Peter, James, and John. Like, what about the other guys? Like, if I was Andrew, I'm stoking the fire, you know, and I see those other guys like whispering, I'd be like, well, y'all do. I mean, I can go. I'm not doing anything. Like, I don't know where y'all are going, but like I'm free. Like, you know, I mean, I'm serious. I'm just being real. Like, that's for real. Like, I would be like, hey, I'm right here. Like, you know, I'm the first. Me. Hey, Pete, I brought you, bud. Like, don't forget about me. Like, you know. But he didn't get invited to that. I mean, when they went to the Transfiguration, probably the most amazing, unbelievable sight, he didn't get to go. It's the same three, Peter, James, and John. It's like, Lord, please spread it out. Like, the favoritism is obvious. Like, everybody gets it now. Like, you could pick the different three every so often, change it up. But it's Peter, James, and John. They got to see it. You know, they came back talking about it. Be like, whatever. You know? But it wasn't Andrew. He didn't get to go. I mean, when they wrote about him in the Bible, I mean, the guys writing the Bible, they were buds. Like, they were around the campfire writing. Andrew's stoking. He dang sure wasn't writing. He wasn't writing anything, I don't guess. He wasn't writing there. They're writing. He's stoking the fire, and you know, a lot of times they wouldn't even write his name. They just called him Peter's brother. Like, I mean, how would you like to never have a name? You're just somebody else's brother. You're somebody else's sibling or sister. You know, when they call your name and everybody goes like, no, I don't know that guy. Don't know. Brandon's brother. Oh, Oh, now, he's the man. Oh, it's his brother. I don't know him, but his brother is the man. Oh, Peter? Peter, he's the man. Andrew, I don't know him. Like, so didn't even write his name. They just called him Peter's brother. I mean, in the book of Acts, Luke, who he likely led to the Lord, you would think there'd be some connection there, some sort of loyalty there. But as Luke was writing the book of Acts about the church and its foundation and its formation, he literally only one time does he write the name Andrew, and it's just calling roll of who was there. And he kind of had to. It's like he kind of felt obligated, like, okay, he is sitting there, so I'll write his name down. And it was just calling roll, and he wrote Andrew's name. But other than that, he literally did not mention Andrew in his book. He didn't talk about any of the profound things Andrew said. He didn't write down any of the amazing things Andrew did. Like, if I'm Andrew and I got a copy of that rough draft, I'd be like, you left out something, bro. I was over here doing some stuff. Like, you got everybody else, man, but you missed me. I'd be trying to like wash some dishes in front of Luke. You know? But he's overshadowed. He's overlooked. Quietly, almost invisibly, he's serving in the background. Just bringing people to Jesus. You see, you may be here today and think that nobody sees what I do. Nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody sees where I'm going. Nobody sees how I'm trying to minister. I'm invisible. My ministry's invisible. What I'm doing for people, nobody sees. I'm here to tell you today, God sees it. God values what you're doing. God understands. He's watching what you're doing. He's taking what you're doing and he's multiplying it, because it's what God does for people that are overshadowed. He says, no, you're still important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul relates a story about our service and our works to the Lord. He calls our service and our works to the Lord. He calls them wood, hay, stubble, uses those expressions. Illustrations. And he said, you know, there's gold, silver, and precious gem, precious stones. And he says that our works are going to be tried by fire, that one day we'll stand before God and everything that we've done, all of our service to the Lord, will go into this God work furnace. I don't know, just made that up. And it's going to burn. And everything that was wood, hay, stubble will burn up. And the only thing that'll be left is the gold and the silver and the precious gems. Heard somebody say, on the surface, where everybody can see is where you find the wood, hay, and stubble. You see, our works, our service unto the Lord that everybody sees. Our service and what we do for the Lord that everybody sees. And if they don't see it, we take a selfie and post it on Facebook so in case they missed it. When we do something good and we take a snapshot and like group up and we're like, oh, that's not good, take another one. Like, and we wait and we look for the thumbs up and we look for the hearts, and then we're mad and defriending people that don't give it to us. All those works are wood, hay, and stubble. And when we present those to God, he's gonna say, I'm sorry, those burned up. Because the reward that you were seeking, you got it. All that dopamine that just rushed into your body over that thumbs up that came across your screen, you got it. But he said, I couldn't bless it. I couldn't bless you for it. But see, it's those things down under the surface. It's those things that nobody sees. It's those things that nobody sees you doing. It's the things that you got to dig for. You got to look for them. You can't just see them on the surface. They're way down deep. You get down there and you start finding gold and you find silver and you find precious stone. And God says, I see it. I see what you're doing. I see that. Nobody else knows. I know what you're doing, and I'm going to reward you. I'm going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. I got a lot of rewards for you. I got something great for you. See, that's the things, the invisible service. See, last Sunday, You won't believe it. But last Sunday, it was my turn in the nursery. My heart wasn't in it. My feelings were hurt. A child from its mother did not want a part. And that baby cried a lot with its broken heart. I prayed that soon the hour would end. Oh God, let it end. Then I could relax. No more children, thank God, to attend. Soon the hour was over. Oh, it felt good to be free. I said once a month, good Lord, it's too much for me. That very next Sunday as I sat in my pew, oh, it was a very good sermon, but the visitors were few. But down came a woman, and her soul was saved. And she was that mother of that crying babe. Then it dawned on me that I had been a part of one being saved, giving God her heart. From that day on, I would never dread working in the nursery while souls were being fed. God values invisible service. But he also values, and we learn from Andrew, that God values insignificant gifts. Insignificant gifts. In John chapter 6, we read of a massive miracle. There were thousands, 5,000, many thousands. Who knows how many thousands? They counted five and quit. A lot of people say like that was just the men. Like, I guess the ladies weren't eating. I don't know. But like, they were a lot. Thousands and thousands of people. I mean, it was such a big deal that all four of the writers wrote. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all wrote about it. It's a big deal. Like, when they all write about something, like, tune in. It's a big deal. All of them wrote about it. But you know about Matthew? He didn't tell you who brought the lad to Jesus. You know, Mark, that jerk, he didn't even tell you who brought the lad to Jesus. What about Luke? My buddy Luke. Surely Luke wrote me down, my boy. Luke left him out. Only John. The only reason we know who brought the lad is John accidentally wrote it. He didn't mean to. He was trying to leave him out. But he accidentally said it was Andrew. In John chapter 6, verse 8, we find out that Andrew was the one that said, hey, Jesus, we all hungry and they're all hungry and there's a guy over there and he's got some food. I don't know if he said that like, me and you want to go get him and go eat. Like, I mean, that's kind of where I would be thinking. Like, I wouldn't be thinking about them. I'd be like, I got us covered, Jesus. Like, kid over there, I done told him, I hurt him if he don't give it up. I don't know what it was, but you know what? He brought him to Jesus. You know, because what he knew was he'd seen a lot of people he'd bring to Jesus. He'd take them to Jesus, and they'd be sick or they'd be lame and they'd be whole. He knew he saw his brother who was a mess, and he brought him to Jesus, and God did something awesome with him. He saw the miracles that he had done, and he said, listen, I don't know what he can do. I don't know. This seems insignificant, but I'm just going to take it to Jesus, and I'm going to give it to Jesus and just stand back and watch what he can do. The whole world looked at it and said, oh, that's insignificant. That's not much. That's not enough. There's so many people. There's so much. This little bit can't matter to God. And God said, listen, if you'll just transfer it over to me, let me take it, I'll transform it. I'll take it and it'll become something you never knew it could be. I'll take something small, insignificant, that you don't think is worth a hoot, and I'll take it and I'll make something awesome from it. That's the God we serve. He values insignificant gifts. See, without Andrew, I wonder, would thousands have been saved that day? Thousands of people that were hungry, didn't have anywhere to go. Disciples encouraging him to just send them away. Send them away. Would they have been fed were it not for Andrew? bringing an insignificant gift to God. See, you got to understand today, whatever it is, whatever gift you have, whatever service you have, whatever sacrifice that you make, whatever offering that you bring to God, whatever it is, no matter how insignificant you think that it is, no matter how insignificant that it seems, God places great value in what we give to Him. It was the widow's mite that got God's attention. Something so small and insignificant, so small. It wasn't this great big gift. It was small, but it was all that she had. And she brought it to Jesus, and the whole world would have said, "That's nothing. We can't do anything with that." And God said, "Oh, I can. You watch what I do. You watch. Because I live in the impossible. God lives in the impossible. God lives in that insignificant, overlooked, underappreciated world. That's where God likes for us to be. Because when we get there, we lean hard on Jesus. He's all we've got. He's all we need. And we realize it in those places. If we're getting all of the pats on the back and the thumbs up, God's like, "Hey, enjoy it. That's all you're getting." But see, God finds value in insignificant gifts. Andrew was overlooked, underappreciated, overshadowed. His brother stole all the thunder. Peter stepped forward, Andrew stepped back. But he was important. A lot of people say, "Hey, what happened to Andrew's story? What happened for Andrew? What happened? How does the story end? I want to know how Andrew's life ends." Well, Andrew had a successful ministry. After Jesus' ascension, he had told him, "Go into all the world, preach, teach, tell them, hey, go." He was sending them out. Andrew did. He went out. And he did what he had always done. He just started telling people about Jesus. He just started preaching and telling people one by one by one by one by one by one by one, planting that seed in their heart and watching God do the rest. All his life, as he had been a disciple with Jesus, he just brought him to Jesus. He let Jesus do the rest. He just kept bringing him to Jesus. One day, they believe around AD 60 in Greece, he led a Roman governor, his wife, he led the wife of a Roman governor to the Lord. He brought her to Jesus. And as wonderful as that was, it wasn't good for the Roman governor. It angered him. So much so, he wanted Andrew dead. He had the power and authority to make him dead. So he ordered that Andrew would be crucified, arrested, crucified. And you know, right here, Andrew and I have a lot of differences. Because if that happened to me, I gotta be honest, like if somebody was like, "Hey, I'm locking you up and I'm crucifying you." I mean, I would have started crying, probably step one. I would have probably begged for my life. You know, Andrew didn't do any of that. What history tells us about Andrew? He didn't beg to be saved or to be spared. You know what he begged for? Not to die like Jesus. Because he didn't feel that he was worthy to die on a cross like Jesus. They said, "Oh no, you're going to die on a cross, buddy. Because it's the most torturous way we know how to kill you. And the governor's mad at you." He said, "Well, please, let it be some other cross." So they hung him on an X. They hung him on an X-shaped cross. And they didn't nail him to the cross, they tied him to the cross. And it was a longer death. He would hang there for days. But that played right into who Andrew was. Because what they tell us is everybody that came by Andrew, as they would come by and he would hang on that cross day after day waiting for death, he would say, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus for salvation. Turn to Jesus for salvation. He told them all, turn to Jesus for salvation. He just kept bringing people to Jesus. You see, there's a lot that we can learn about Andrew. There's a lot for many of us. A lot of us, we think we're just nobodies. How could God use me? Well, God values individual people. Hey, God values invisible service. What you think is invisible, God sees. You ain't got a thank you card in the mail and you're upset about it. Give it to Jesus. God sees. Don't post it on Facebook. And God values insignificant gifts. You just bring it to Jesus, let him do the rest. Let's bow our heads right where you are. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if I can bring people to Jesus because honestly, I probably need to bring myself to Jesus. I probably need to come to Jesus myself. That's my first step. And whether you're watching us online or around the world anywhere or in this room, if you don't know Jesus, it's the most important life-changing decision that you can make.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.